Chapter 6 False Memories of the Massacre. Tekel had gone alone, it being easier for a single legionary in power armor to remain hidden in close proximity to the walls than 30. Obek kept his eye on the forge master, though, hunkering down inside a crater just large enough to conceal his presence from the sentries on the walls. Mercifully, though the labor crews inside the complex were numerous, the sentries were few, and just lightly armed Skitarii. Xandu had gone back to the squads who had dug in farther up the hill behind the legionaries, so Obek was now alone in protecting the Forge Master. Forge Father, he reminded himself, as he watched the Tech Marine. Tekel had taken another crater, staying low as he tried to get close to a servitor or augmented menial. The Mechanicum laborers were rad-shielded within hermetically sealed suits, not that it would make any difference to Tekel. Obek knew little about the Mechanicum or their ways. He had not been inducted into the Martian ranks like Tekel, but knew their machine language was called Binaric, and that Tekel would cant an interrogative into the nearest non-biological mind and then siphon off whatever secrets it harbored in its deep programming. He would not even need to touch it. Obek observed from the crater. No outward sign of the Tech Marine's success or failure presented itself, and the sense of impotence at having to watch and wait sat poorly with the brother captain, but he would not risk an interruption. "I do not like this waiting, brother captain," Xandu said over the vox.
"The salamander is patient, brother sergeant," Obek replied, but inwardly empathized. "He tempers his mood as he tempers metal."
"You sound like Zaul."
The tremor of a smile crept onto Obek's face.
"I'll consider that a compliment. Any unusual movement?"
Obek had instructed Xandu to maintain close overwatch on the outpost. From his higher vantage point, the sergeant had a much better view. Obek could see little more than the sloping walls and the gap between them through which the workers passed back and forth. Should any sign, however ostensibly innocuous, suggest they had been discovered, they were to engage immediately.
"The machines still toil," Xandu replied.
"I have sighted several combat units, but only lightly armed and remaining on station." That coincided with what Obek had seen, too.
"If needed, we will storm this place and lay waste to any who ally themselves with the renegades."
"Understood, Firebearer." Obek cut the feed. Something was happening below.
"Forgefather?"
he asked, and could just make out Tekel, whose entire body had gone into spasm, a single violent jolt that put him onto his back.
"Forgefather?"
Obek asked again when he got no answer. He brought up his bolt pistol, glancing at the outpost but seeing nothing unusual. A crackle of static infected the vox, a blurt of binaric cant that came from Tekel. He quickly reverted to Gothic, but haltingly.
"I found something."
"Are you injured, Forgefather?"
"Mechanicum? No. They know."
"About the rot?"
Obek glanced over again, but nothing had changed. He considered voxing Xandu, but wanted to know what Tekel had discovered.
"Us,"
said Tekel, and began to thrash.
"They know we are here."
"What?"
An explosion lit up the hillside, sending bone scraps flying and chunks of rubble with it. The Skitarii had unleashed a heavy cannon. Obek roared down the vox.
"Salamanders, engage!"
Xandu was already moving, steadily advancing down the hillside as he led the attack.
"I'll secure the Forge Master,"
said Obek, rushing down towards where Tekel lay eerily still in his crater. He reached him just as the bolters started up and the hillside erupted in muzzle flare. The shell storm hit the side of the outpost, tearing across its ramparts and howling through its open ingress. There was no gate, just an opening. Servitors and menials alike were shredded, including the combat unit that had fired the incendiary. Explosive fury ripped through the encampment, and as the bipedal battle automata responded, their non-martial equivalents continued to labor without pause. A phalanx of shield-bearers erected a mobile barricade at the opening, but Xandu quickly put a hole through it with his Volkite. A cluster of grenades followed, and the makeshift barrier was blown apart and skywards in a series of fiery detonations. The legionaries did not slow, but drove implacably into the outpost itself, targeting sentry points and gun towers with lethal precision. This was the Legion at war, the Emperor's angels unleashed, and the salamanders reveled in it. The rest disappeared behind smoke, hinted at through half-heard carnage and the throaty retort of Space Marine weaponry, as Obeck finally got to Tekel.
"Forgefather," he asked tentatively.
"Brother."
He was reaching to check Tekel's vital signs when the Tech Marine's eye opened. He appeared weak but lucid.
"What happened?" Obeck asked.
"Malicious code," Tekel replied. "Something designed to discourage infiltration. As my mechanical implants came under attack, my biological body suffered a seizure."
Obeck offered his arm.
"Can you stand?"
"I'm sure."
Tekel managed to look down at his legs, but they stayed inert.
"No, still non-functional. Need to purge the code."
"And then do it quickly. The Mechanicum have turned their guns on us," said Obeck,
looking over to the outpost and imagining the battle within. Obeck knew war, though he had not tasted it since the end of the Crusade. He knew weapons, too, so he recognized the timbre of the Phobos-pattern bolt guns his warriors used. He discerned their other patterns as well, the almost rhythmic staccato of suppressing and supporting fire. As he listened, absorbing everything in just a few seconds, something incongruous amid the battle din made him frown. Tekel seized his arm, but only to get his attention.
"Not only the Mechanicum,"
he said. That sound, Obeck now heard, also bolt of fire, but not from his warrior's assault. It answered it, a counter-assault, an ambush.
"Sons of Horus," Obeck breathed,
and raised the pilots. But it was too late. Breaching the defensive cordon, Xandu pushed forwards. Through the heat of a lasbeam fusillade, he quickly appraised the battlefield. Four watchtowers stood sentry at the cardinal points of the outpost, which was encircled by a defensive wall arranged in a horseshoe with a single open entry point. Crates, pipes, industrial-grade coils of wire and other materials cluttered around a main assembly area, where the non-combatants had begun construction of a machine Xandu did not recognize. Some kind of seismic drill, perhaps. There were signs of excavation around the site. Defensive forces were spread out with lighter patrols scattered on the ramparts to the walls, but the heaviest concentrations of resistance focused around the watchtowers. The Salamander's legionaries targeted these first. Xandu rushed the nearest tower, flanking left with his men. A cohort of mechanized thralls swung a mounted cannon into position, but the angle slowed them down, and half of Xandu's squad strafed the gunners from existence. Another thrall cohort began to close as the second half of the squad hurled crack grenades at the tower's support struts before reforming again and laying down suppressing fire. A split second later, a detonation shook the ground and the tower collapsed with all the grace of a felled man. It crashed down onto a group of labor servitors too slow to move out of the way or too oblivious to the danger. When the tower then struck a fuel silo, it provoked a firestorm that raged through the encampment, leaving blasted tech thralls and flesh-stripped menials in its wake. The resulting explosion shook the walls. Some of the menials continued to toil, though their scraps of hair were on fire and their augmetics shone cleanly through the gaps in their melted prosthetic flesh. Xandu's warriors gunned them down, clearing their sightlines to the robed Skitarii in their rad masks, struggling through the fiery wreckage. Returning from the right flank, where a second demolished watchtower lay burning, Sergeant Ashax brought up his warriors in support, and the two squads formed a phalanx. Against the massed bolter fire, the Skitarii had to fall back or face annihilation. Scattered survivors from the tech thralls and heavier battle servitors tried to consolidate an outflank, but Var's squad laid down a swathe of blazing promethium that cooked them in their metal suits or fused their tracks solid. The fire drakes advanced as they burned, hosing ramparts, smothering stragglers, and otherwise devastating the Mechanicum's ranks.
"Such is the fate of all renegades," thought Xandu,
as the warrior spirit within all legionaries rejoiced. It had been too long since he had seen battle, too long as a watchman on Prometheus. It had been an honorable duty, but ultimately all Space Marines yearned for the crucible of battle. This was scarcely war, and it felt different to the way the Legion fought. 30 men, bolters and flamers, it was far removed from the continent-spanning wars of the Crusade. But he could not deny it felt satisfying. Even though their helms hid their expressions, Zandu knew his brothers felt the same as he. Ashax even raised his chainsword in triumph as the remnants of the enemy were slowly crushed. Zandu raised his fist too. They had fought together at Antium and driven back the alien scourge of the orcs. A decade older than he, Ashax had taught Zandu what it meant to be a Firedrake, and his example had inspired the other sergeant to better serve his Primarch and his Legion. As sons of the Forge, that bond of brotherhood and shared battle history was all that remained to the Salamanders. Here, a small moment of glory had been gratefully snatched, a rare victory after what felt like many recent defeats. Ashax turned, his triumphant mood infectious, poised to bellow a war cry, jerking, instead, as the bolt shell struck his gorget and took his head off. Zandu's body reacted faster than his mind, even as he fought back the horror of seeing the fount of blood erupting from Ashax's neck stump. The others were turning too, but their bolters felt slow to track with him, as if caught by some temporal anchor. Ashax's corpse collapsed to its knees and fell forwards, but Zandu had confined this grim image to his peripheral vision as he focused on the threat in front of him. Shadows advanced through the murk, heavy-armored and definitely legionary. A stark, zigzagging arc of lightning lit their forms in iridescent violet monochrome. They filled the breach in the horseshoe. Zandu mouthed a warning, motion and recognition happening in nanoseconds of enhanced cognition, as a firing line of bolters opened up. Any hope of slipping their notice evaporated when Obek saw the three legionaries coming for him and Tekel. The Forgemaster still lay prone, nearly paralyzed and vulnerable.
"You are my only defense, Obek," he murmured,
and managed to clench his fist, though his voice tripped like a badly synced audio feed.
"Hold fast, brother," Obek said, resting a hand on the Techmarine's chest before drawing his blade. "I shall not fail you."
The three legionaries had slowed, raising their bolt guns to their shoulders to fire. Obek offered them his sword, gently, reverently laying his bolt pistol down, but never breaking eye contact with his enemy.
"You surrender?"
One of them laughed, incredulous. Obek shook his head.
"I want to see if the Sons of Horus have any honor left."
The three legionaries looked at one another, and to Obek's surprise, lowered their bolters and drew their own blades. They were notched and the metal dark, unlike the captain's blade, which shimmered like flawless obsidian. They encircled him, those notched blades reaching out to Obek like claws. Obek moved forwards into the cordon the Sons of Horus had created. It put the fight farther from Tekel, and hopefully a swift execution from the minds of the renegades who were now focused on the Salamander's legionary who could still walk and fight. Obek didn't know why they had accepted his challenge. Boredom, perhaps? Or possibly a desire to kill a legionary captain at close quarters? Win or lose, he resolved in that moment, before the first blow came, that he would not allow them to take him alive. Torture would follow if he did, and Obek would not suffer that indignity. By leaving his bolt pistol at Tekel's feet, he had left the Forgemaster with a way to avoid such a fate, but could not worry about that now, as his assailants closed on him.
"Any last words, kinsman?"
asked one of the renegades, as the ring of green and black tightened like a noose. Obek was about to decline when he gave a different answer.
"Vulcan lives."
A thrust came in at his midriff, which he turned aside from to parry a second blow aimed at the join between gorget and helmet. He elbowed the renegade who had thrust, striking a point between forearm and upper arm. The legionary grunted in pain and was turning to stab again when Obek parried the third assailant, breaking his guard to spear his blade into the warrior's throat. The third legionary gurgled, coughing blood up against his mouth grill. The second, the one who had tried to cut Obek's head off, shoved his brother out of the way so he could die somewhere else and launched a feral attack. He snarled, spitting incoherent curses with every cleave and thrust. Such was the ferocity of the attack that Obek struggled to defend against it. He also had the other Sons of Horus legionary to worry about. A lance of white heat impaled his side as one of the cuts penetrated his guard, tearing ceramite, adamantium, and the mesh beneath until it met flesh. Blood poured from the wound, but clotted fast. It needed to. Obek took a second hit to his left temple. Just a glancing blow, or the fight would have ended there and then, but it rattled his senses. Fighting three opponents was hard, but two was harder. A third assailant would often get in the way of the other two, interrupting their natural balance. As one attacks, the other could seek out a weakness in defense and exploit it. If three attack simultaneously, they would become entangled and inhibit their ability to bring superior numbers to bear. So, Obek knew it would get tougher before he was done. He had to move quickly and anticipate the renegade's attacks, which left few chances to counter. A blow struck his shoulder guard, so hard that it jarred the bone but also snagged the blade. Obek turned sharply, exposing his flank to a vicious thrust from the legionary who was still armed, which sank deep into the meat of his body but wrenched the weapon from the other's grasp. He shoulder-barged the still-armed renegade, forcing him back, affording himself time to marshal his pain, whilst the disarmed renegade made the mistake of reaching for the protruding hilt of his sword. Obek stabbed sideways into his armpit, then pushed the blade down at an angle into the renegade's heart before stepping to the side so the warrior's body was between him and the survivor. The frenzied hack into his brother's clavicle would have cleaved Obek's chest open, armored or not. Instead, it ended in frustration for the Sons of Horus legionary and left them one against one. The renegade's blade tore up blood and meat as the last remaining warrior wrenched loose. Another notch had been added to the legacy of betrayals, albeit this last one unintended. Unsheathing his own sword from the dead legionary's armpit, Obek let the corpse fall. He held his side, a gauntlet pressed to the grievous wounds that had opened him up and spattered his blood across the ground.
"Would you like a rest?"
he asked, but his voice was strained and ragged with effort. He expected the renegade to lunge, but instead the warrior dropped his blade and brought up the bolt gun that was slung across his back. Dulled by his beating, Obek reacted a fraction too slowly to the altered rules of engagement. He heard the muffled boom of a bolter fired at close range as he reached the last legionary. The shell impact sent spikes of agony across his ribplate, and he felt a lung collapse from the kinetic hammer blow against his chest. Mercifully, the shell did not embed, or it would have blown out half of his torso. Instead, it caromed off his side and exploded outside of his armor. Heat and shrapnel spoiled his vision, and he tasted blood in his mouth so great in volume he had to spit it out. Half-dazed, badly injured, he glared into the retinal lenses of the Sons of Horus legionary, so close now that they almost embraced and expected the second shell to finish it. Only when he saw the hatred seep away, replaced by a cold, vacuous stare, did he realize the renegade was dead. An obsidian blade had scythed through his gut, so deep and impelled with such violence that it had almost cut the warrior in half, an instinctive blow. Obek had strength enough to wrench his blade free before he staggered and almost fell.
"Brother Captain."
Tekel was rising from the crater at last.
"Need a moment,"
Obek hissed between clenched teeth, fighting the pain and urging his biology to knit his skin faster. It took several seconds for Obek's vision to clear and for the blood rushing inside his skull to recede to a dull roar. He leaned hard on his bloody sword, using it like a crutch, but when he finally arose, he looked to the outpost and the breach in the outer wall, now closed by ranks of green and black. As the forge master limped up beside him, Obek rasped breathlessly,
"We need to fight."
Zen craved glory. His desire for it was the reason he had never been accepted into the Primarch's inner circle of warriors. Numion had seen it immediately, and remarked as much to Vulcan. To be of the Pyre Guard, of the Seven, required a selflessness Zen did not possess. Pride undid him. But his sword arm, Numion had told his father he had never seen another in the Legion who equaled it. Vulcan had given Zen a standard to bear, in the hope the burden of it, both physical and symbolic, would temper his pride. Then the war came, and hope died with it. Zen failed to heed his father's lesson. Consumed by grief, he embraced his natural talents instead. They had served him well. They would need to do so again. A bolter storm raged across the outpost, so fierce it pushed the Salamander's legionaries behind the wreckage of their assault and made makeshift barricades of the fallen watchtowers. A deadly lager of renegades had formed around them, weapons turned inwards. A diminishing knot of Drake's scale warplate, hunkered shoulder to shoulder, fought desperately at the eye of the storm. Ashax lay headless, but his warriors had dragged his body into the protective cordon the Salamander's legionaries had erected so it would not be defiled further. Zen only caught glimpses of them through the hail of shells, spitting war oaths as he returned fire into the lightning-streaked darkness. A second storm had already taken hold, a natural one that threaded the night sky with violet wounds. The fury of the battle was revealed in it, captured by each iridescent flash. A Sons of Horus legionary died in one of those flashes, shot through the neck to be trampled by his brothers, still eager for the slaughter. Zen had no time to shout in triumph, and no desire. He had looked up to the 16th Legion once, in awe of their prowess and envious of their laurels. Now he despised them. His bolt pistol spoke for him, its roar joining that of his brothers and swelling into a blazing bow wave of defiance. The air hazed with the intensity of the fire exchange, but the Salamanders were losing.
"We cannot hold here!"
Even across the vox, Zen had to shout. It took Xandu a few seconds to reply.
"Agreed! We have to break out of this cordon!"
A shell pranged off Zen's shoulder guard as another Salamander's legionary fell, witnessed in his peripheral vision. Var's flamers were largely keeping the Mechanicum at bay, but the Sons of Horus were the threat, and they had numbers and an embedded formation.
"Bring Var up," said Zen. "Douse these betrayers with Vulcan's flame, and as they're burning, we'll hit them. There'll be nothing to stop the Mechanicum overwhelming our barricade. Our brothers will die? They're already dying," said Zen.
But something in Xandu's voice gave him pause. Not fear, but something akin to it. The vexillary risked a glance at the sergeant, who had stopped and was inexplicably staring at nothing. The flames from the Promethean explosion had crept into the outpost, and flickering orange tendrils had begun to consume the renegades who fought on, nearly inviolate inside their armor.
"Brother Sergeant!"
Zen snapped down the vox. But Xandu was already gone, lost in his own darkness. The burning man stood before Xandu, his armor ablaze and his eyes pits of infernal flame. Xandu tried to speak, but his throat became so parched that only a rasp escaped his lips. Here was death. Here was judgment. A final reckoning. Xandu reached out to him, to the burning man, resigned to meet his fate. Yet as they closed, another hand reached out to seize Xandu's outstretched gauntlet, and a tide of flame engulfed the burning man until he was lost amidst its roaring depths.
"The fire!"
Xandu breathed, his wide eyes absorbing the terrifying spectacle of his vision.
"Yes,"
Zebdu Var replied, ebullient as he spewed gouts of promethium into the traitors.
"You see him, don't you, brother?"
Xandu blinked as if he had woken from a dream. The flamers had come forwards, just as Zen described, and were unleashing hell into the Sons of Horus ranks.
"See whom?"
Xandu asked, as his senses returned and he resumed the fight. Did Var see the burning man, too? Var laughed, and it was a wicked sound, uttered by a devil.
"See Vulcan!"
he cried aloud.
"Ablaze and alive in the fires of battle!"
Fire wreathed all. It consumed, it undulated, it breathed. Whenever Var saw the flame, he knew Vulcan is with us. The renegades burned. At first they resisted, but slowly their forms shrank before the inevitable conflagration, sagging and capitulating as they cooked in their armor. A rank of heavy flamers stood stoic before them, with Var at their head. Bolt shells hammered off the salamander's warplate, and Wondrake staggered, his jet of flame spewing wide and setting fire to the ground. Another fell, his faceplate cracked apart, and a great torrent of promethium rising volcanically like an eruption before he died. Var was oblivious. He saw fire, and knew it saw him.
"Vulcan," he murmured,
and heard the war cry of his Primarch in the billow of the flames. Another voice intruded on his reverie. It was the Blademaster, Zen. An imperative, his duty, cleared Var's senses, and he ordered his flamers to part like the waves of a lava sea.
"Pyros! Hit them now!"
Zen bellowed Var's war name.
"Make way!"
The armored backs of the heavy flamer bearers moved apart to form a breach, through which Zen led the others. Only a short distance separated the two forces of legionaries now, the Sons of Horus having advanced as they felt a sure victory was in their grasp. Both his swords drawn, the banner of the Unscarred unfurled from a standard pole fixed to his power pack, Zen closed the gap. Momentary disbelief robbed the renegades of a few precious seconds, as the insane charge of the Salamander's legionaries rushed out to meet them. The renegades were burning, too, and the shock and disorder threw the aim of some. Bolt shells clattered uselessly against drake-scale armor, and the spear-tip of the salamander's thrust struck. The clash was intense, and so loud it deafened. Zen split the first renegade from clavicle to groin with a brutal crosswise slash. His falchion had an energized blade. Even power armor was no proof against it. He killed two more before his next foe had recovered from the collective battle shock afflicting the Sons of Horus, and could mount some kind of defense. Two blades of monomolecular steel met each other and began to grind. His momentum arrested, Zen was forced to stand and actually fight, rather than just batter and butcher. Break through the cordon, and the Salamander's legionaries lived. Failed to do so, and they died. More Sons of Horus were coming, and though most had now drawn close combat weapons, the sheer press of their numbers and skilled aggression would quickly overwhelm the drakes if they became pinned. Attrition suited the 18th Legion, but not against such odds. Zen turned the warrior's blade to break the deadlock, and used his second sword, a serrated spatha, to hack off the renegade's hand at the wrist. A sharp thrust to the chest ended it, and he pushed forwards into the maddening swell of bodies. Zandu was near. Zen could hear him fighting, but saw little except the fountaining of blood and the heady blur of close-quarter combat. It became ugly very fast, and blade skill meant little, as the fight became a scrum of stabbing and bludgeoning. It made no difference to Zen. He knew every way there was to fight and to kill. He thrust and cleaved and hacked, leaving some injured, killing others, but always pressing deeper, striving to breach the back of the enemy's ranks and seize the chance at survival that success promised.
"Vulcan!"
he roared, and heard the fervent antiphony of his kin. Zen felt the killing heat. It hazed the air and turned it bloody and thick.
"Vulcan!"
he roared again, and felt a primal anger rise within. The flamers were with them now, Var pushing his warriors hard so they didn't remain caught in the trap.
"So many, brother,"
uttered Zandu, his voice strained by battle across the vox. At least he was cogent again, it seemed. Zen couldn't lay eyes on him. Too many legionaries in green and black were trying to kill him. He could answer, though.
"Ever has our legion defied the odds? Vulcan!"
An echoing cry rang out, but from fewer voices. Zen's muscles ached and his heart thundered in his chest, but the momentum of the charge had almost gone, and the aperture of hope he had driven towards slid inexorably closed.
"Vulcan!"
he raged, not in triumph or defiance, but desperation. He hoped the dead could hear his plea. He hoped the dead could deliver them. A gunship swept in low, heavy bolters strafing the renegades' ranks. It ripped up the rearmost echelons of the Sons of Horus forces, chewing up bodies and sending them spiraling skywards. It moved swiftly, turbines screaming as a swarm of missiles chased it into the clouds. The renegades were struggling to counter the sudden aerial assault, hastily turning their heavy weapons on the Thunderhawk that had lined up for another run. They scattered, but the damage to the Sons of Horus ranks was already severe. Obek rushed into the wake of the gunship's carnage, dispatching the wounded with cold lethality. How quickly fortune could change.
Tekel had recovered enough to fight, and did so with a fury at odds with the coldness of his Martian training. Wrath had overtaken them both as they advanced steadily through the dead and the dying. All too soon they were no longer culling the injured, and came upon able-bodied enemies. But when the blow came that felled Obek, he never saw it coming. Zen knew he would die in this misbegotten hole. An irradiated wasteland was no place for a warrior to meet his end, and he railed at the injustice of it. The knot of renegades grew tighter, a hangman readying the condemned before the inevitable drop. He caught the edge of a chain blade against his pauldron, so hard it jerked his shoulder and his guard slipped.
Oh, this is it. Damn you, Zandal, for your weakness, for your...
Muzzle flare suddenly lit up the darkness, spearing through the storm. It scythed into the backs of the renegades, hurling bodies and chewing up the earth. A tremor ran through the enemy warriors, the instinctive reaction of a creature wounded and seeking to retaliate. The knot had loosened. Zen could see light through it. Cutting down the nearest Sons of Horus legionary, he broke the noose and took his brothers with him. Against such ferocity, the renegades fell back. The gunship returned, as did its twin, and hit the scattered Sons of Horus hard. Zen kept fighting. He severed the arm of one traitor, then impaled another. He left them grievously wounded before pressing on. The kill didn't matter, only survival.
We have been surviving ever since this war began.
Zandu reached him as a small cordon of respite grew around the remnants of the Drakes. His outstretched fingers stabbed towards the gunships.
Signal the retreat! We'll make egress via the Thunderhawks!
Zen bit his tongue and did as ordered. Var anchored the fallback, unleashing a wall of flame to keep the renegades disorganized. As they reached the gunships, which were already taking fire, Zen saw Zandu had gone back for someone. It was Tekel, unconscious and dragged by his ankle as his rescuer shot indiscriminately behind him. As the Forgemaster was flung aboard, Zen asked,
"Firebearer?"
Zandu shook his head.
"Slain?"
Zen could scarcely believe it.
"I don't know."
It was the truth. As they had made their retreat, Zandu had seen Tekel, but not Brother Captain Obek. Standing in the lee of the Thunderhawk's open troop hatch, Zen made to go back, but Zandu stopped him.
"He's gone, brother. We go back, we die." "Then we die! He is our captain!"
Zen looked down at where Zandu's hand was pressed against his breastplate, then back at the brother sergeant.
"He is our captain,"
he said slowly, his voice level.
"Enough have died already."
Zen backed down, and Zandu released him. Var and his squad had almost reached the gunships. Dwindling spurts of promethium from their flamers signaled their tanks were almost empty. Of the 10 legionaries in the squad, only 6 remained. 2 of those grabbed a third, still spitting fire as they dragged their wounded brother into the hold. Zandu gave the order and the gunships began to rise. As the troop hatch closed, and the shadows closed with it, Zen spoke to the blank, unfeeling wall of the hold.
"If he lives, we go back for him!"
Zandu nodded. His hands were clenched, out of anger and impotence. He tasted blood in his mouth, and he thought he might have bitten his tongue during the battle. Then he felt a trickle seep from his nose, marring the faceplate of his helm, and knew he hadn't. His retinal lenses crackled with static. They'd been doing it throughout the battle, and before. The integrity warning flashed green to red, then stayed on red.